Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Orange County.
I had no idea that was your husband.
To New Jersey.
I never expected this.
Toughen up, toughen up.
Get behind the scenes and relive the drama.
Don't talk to him. He's a little twerp.
All of this is unimportant to me.
With exclusive interviews and celebrity guests.
Let me tell you something right now.
This is Getting Real with the Housewives.
Hey guys, welcome to Getting Real with the Housewives, a Housewives podcast from right here at Us Weekly, where we break down all your latest Housewives news, give you exclusive interviews with your favorite ladies, and dish the dirt on all things Real Housewives related. I'm your host, Christina Garibaldi. This week, we sit down with former Real Housewives of Orange County star Megan King, who opened up about how she is co-parenting with her ex Jim Edmonds, if she is dating again, and what she misses the most about the Housewives. How are you doing? What has parenting during the pandemic been looking like for you?
It's been getting better and better. When the pandemic started, my kids were, They weren't two yet. The twins weren't two, and Aspen, my daughter, was like 2.5 or 3 or something. Mm-hmm. And so I think just with the age, it's getting better. And then, you know, now we're kind of like in the flow of the pandemic. There's hope on the horizon of like things opening up and everything. So it's been good lately, and they've been in preschool pretty much the whole time. They had 2 weeks off because somebody got sick at school, but that's it.
That's great. That's good. Yeah. It's been smooth sailing.
Yeah. Like, no, it has not. The first 9 weeks were hell on earth. I was like, I was stuck in LA. The beaches were closed. The parks were closed. I'm like, get me out of here. I need to get to a more conservative state. And, you know, it doesn't matter where I lie, my political values lie. It's where I fucking need to get my kids out of here. That's all that matters. So I came back to Missouri, where there's family and open space and land, and the parks were still closed, but like there was room to go.
Definitely. You can have a little bit of sanity.
Thank God. Yes. Yeah.
How is Hart feeling?
He's doing great. Good. He's dancing and running, and he's working on his balance and his speech. So it's always something, but when is it not?
Oh, of course. I mean, did the pandemic, was it hard for him to get treatments and things like that and see doctors? And but is everything but kind of back to normal now?
So therapy, in-person therapy pretty much came to a complete halt. Mm-hmm. And therapists were doing their therapy sessions on FaceTime or Zoom or whatever. And let me just try to picture this. I have 3 kids. I'm trying to work, and I'm trying to do freaking FaceTime therapy with my son, who like he can't reason, you know, he's a toddler.
Right.
And he's like, what the heck? I don't have the time. My kid is getting no benefit from that. It's really, truly, it's really sad. It's made me really sad for a lot of kids out there who really rely on their therapy. I mean, Hart learned how to walk in therapy, and he wasn't able to get that, which like, thank God he was already walking at that point. But think of how many kids out there just had, you know, they're still aging every day and they're not able to get their therapy. It makes me really sad.
Right. Well, I'm glad he's doing well, and I'm glad he's thriving and doing good. What would you say, maybe not just in the pandemic, but just in general, I mean, what is your biggest challenge as a single mom, and what advice do you have for other single moms out there?
Oh God. My biggest challenge as a single mom is balancing everything. I think it's super tough. I was just talking to my brother about this morning, to as a mom of a child with a disability, to not even make that, like, just hone in on my child's disability and, you know, try to make everything perfect for him. Yes, of course, that's what I want to do. It takes me actively telling myself that will not define me. That is a part of who I am. That is not the only piece of who I am. And so that's been huge for me. And I think that's kind of helped me with being a single mom and trying to balance everything, because I feel guilty if I'm, you know, taking time for myself, or if I'm working, or if I'm being a full-time mom. I feel mm-hmm. guilty for all of those things, and I can't do any of them as well as I wish I could, because there's a balance. There's only so much time in the day. Mm-hmm. So that for me has been definitely my biggest struggle. And yet I would say at the same time, probably one of my proudest accomplishments, because I think I do a good job of balancing those slices of the pie. And so when I do focus on whatever it is, I put all of my energy and passion into it. Mm-hmm. It's not just like I don't take it for granted anymore.
Right. Totally. I think every mom can agree that, like, you try to do it all, but, like, sometimes some things will fall in between the cracks, but as long as you can get through the day, and, like, every day is a win, right?
Yeah. Moms are too hard. We're too hard on ourselves, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. So I think we're coming out of, you know, the 50s housewife and like housewife and mother, and we're, that's what's kind of our, you know, our past expectations. And yet we still kind of hang on to those expectations, which you can't possibly hang on to those expectations if you're going to do all these other things, like learn and have a life and mm-hmm. have a career and have friends. You can't hold on to the 50s housewife either.
Totally. You know? Totally. Would you say it's harder raising boys or girls?
I think kids are kids. I think gender is a box that we put them in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, I always love asking moms, do you have a favorite mom hack that you swear by? Like, one celebrity mom told me that she used to put breast milk on acne and it used to clear up her acne.
Yeah, that's smart. I did. Yeah, when I was breastfeeding, if I had been drinking, I would still pump, you know, you got to pump anyway. And I would keep that, and I would mark a big X on it, and I would use it for stuff like that, or like put it in the bath, or like scrapes, my kids scrapes, stuff like that. Yeah, it's like it's gold.
Really?
I don't know. Other than that, I have to think about it. Oh, you know what I just discovered, actually? This is a good one. So my Dr. Brown's butt cream for your baby mm-hmm. is such a good soother for like adult issues like eczema or razor burn. You put it on and it's gone in a couple hours.
Really? Oh my God. Yes. I'm going to have to check that out. That's amazing.
Yes. It's like Dr. Brown's baby cream. And I literally don't even use it for my kids because they're too old for that now. So I just keep it for myself.
Oh my God. I love that. I love hearing stuff like that. That is so great. What is one thing about motherhood that you wish you knew before you had your kids?
I don't know. I would say probably space them out a little bit more, because you think they're easy until they're like 6 months old, and then they trick you and they turn into a toddler.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I'm like entering those terrible twos.
Are you?
So it's not easy at times.
Right.
Do you ever have Instagram envy of other moms? Like, do you ever judge other moms if they dress their families in matching PJs, or do you not do that? Because I'm sure at times you get mom shamed as well.
No, I do have Instagram envy. I don't think I necessarily judge very much. I feel like I'm pretty good about not judging. I don't really care what other people do. It doesn't bother me, but mm-hmm. sometimes I get envious of their lives. You know, I'll think like, how do they have all these kids and they're doing all this stuff and they look so perfect all the time? And then I tell myself, this is not healthy. Mm-hmm. What you're doing to your, you know, comparing is not healthy. And then I tell myself, you know, back off, take a break. So, I don't like feeling that way, and I do it to myself. So I try to make it a point to try to be as real as I can, mm-hmm. because I don't know, maybe those moms are that perfect all the time, and hats off to them. That is incredible. And I love them for all of that, mm-hmm. but it's just not me.
No, I don't think it's a lot of people. It's gotta be hard to keep that up. I mean, how do you deal with mom shamers and things like that? Because obviously people are invested in your story, know your story, and I'm sure they have a lot to say all the time.
Yeah, they do. I don't know. It's never really truly bothered me that much. I don't want to make anyone feel bad ever. That's never, ever my intention. I don't want to be mean to people. And I think I'm good about not doing that, but I just want to live my life for me. I think that people have gotten a lot meaner since the pandemic started and as it's gone on. I think that like there isn't really, we're all going through this together. And so there really isn't a healthy outlet. Like if you say to me, hey, Megan, I'm so upset and depressed because I'm sitting home all day and I can't see my friends. And I'm like, yeah, well, fuck you. So am I, you know, like there's, so you need to take, I think people collectively are taking that pain and like putting it, letting it out in inappropriate ways. For instance, like trolling me or something. Yeah. And so because of that, I just think, you know what, let them, it's, this is their way. If they need, if that makes them feel better, I hope it does, because, here they can do it. I don't care.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's so true. I think people are redirecting their anger into other places that it shouldn't be, but it's hard. Everybody's dealing with a lot of different things right now. I mean, how are you taking time for yourself? I mean, are you dating? Are you and Will still dating? Like, how's everything going?
Yeah, we're still dating, but we're not serious. And so, I'm definitely dating, and, it's been annoying and fun and exhausting and like just such an energy suck. I'm just sick of it. And I think like also guys are really into right now, at least, connecting on, you know, a dating app or whatever, and then never meeting up. Like you just like text, or even if you talk on the phone, that's like crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, I'm sick of that. I just want to get some FaceTime here, like real FaceTime, not, you know, iPhone FaceTime.
Totally. Have you had any disaster dates, or is that all, like you said, just been all kind of virtual?
No, I've had a couple disaster dates, but for the most part, I feel pretty lucky that they've been good. Like, okay, so for me, I have this podcast about sex, Intimate Knowledge, and I've heard so many dating horror stories. So before I ever meet somebody, because typically I meet them from an app. Like I've been set up with a couple people, but I don't know. I feel like I have more control when it's an app. So I say, all right, I need a selfie. And like, I need to know what they look like. I need to know how tall they are. Like what I need to be physically attracted to them if I'm going to put myself out there like this. So I feel like I've avoided some disasters probably because of that.
Totally. So you and Will are not exclusive then? You guys are casually dating?
Yeah. We're not exclusive. Yeah, but he's wonderful and we talk all the time. We talk every day and So we'll see. I don't know. Like whenever that special guy comes around, or like maybe Will and I will develop something into something serious. But for now, I'm just really enjoying being with like a date or Will when I'm with them, but when I'm not, just exploring myself and what makes me happy.
Definitely. I mean, what do you love the most about living the single life? Do you like living the single life?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think that I wouldn't be in this place if it was my decision. I would be in a happy marriage with the father of my children, but that wasn't my path. And so because of that, yeah, I'm happy. I don't feel like I need a man for money or for like love or even for sex, or like, I don't need them to like buy me a car or a house or like give me children. So I feel very comfortable with where I am in life right now, but I would love someone to hold and to touch. I mean, that just, I'm a big touch person. So, and I give so much to my kids, so much touch, you know, they're yanking on me, you know, your mom, right. And they want to be carried. And so you're just giving yourself over so much. It would just be nice to have somebody just like put their hand on my shoulder, just like that. That's all, you know.
Totally. Yeah.
So that part of being single, you can't really replicate. But the part of like having my own time and like buying my own house and making it how I want, I love that. Like, yeah, I don't need anything for that.
No, definitely. I mean, do you want to get married again in the future if you find the right person?
I'm like currently going through a phase of being anti-institution, and so, but I'm still like a total romantic and a serial monogamist. And so I think that I definitely would love to have a lifetime commitment with someone someday.
Yeah, totally. I mean, how is co-parenting going between you and Jim?
It's a struggle.
It is still.
Yeah.
I mean, that's gotta be extremely frustrating. I can't imagine.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a common theme among parents who are co-parent. If you're co-parenting well, then I don't know, maybe you should have stayed married or something. Like, I don't, that's how I see it, I guess. But, or you're just like a very evolved soul and a wonderful person. But, I don't think that my, my co-parenting relationship has reached that level of evolution.
Yeah. Do you think it ever will? Or are you hopeful that it will?
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think it will?
I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. I can't imagine. It's gotta be really hard because it also plays out in public too. I mean, do you regret having it, or do you wish your split didn't play out so much in public?
Heck yeah. It was a disaster. It was like who wants that in public? I just thank my lucky stars I wasn't on Housewives when it was all going down. Can you imagine TV gold right there at my expense? But no, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it sucked that it was all public and I regret some of the decisions that I made to be as public as I was. I think there's ebbs and flows in the progression of a divorce and, you know, as the kids age and co-parenting and moving on, all of that. So I'm really hopeful that, you know, time heals everything.
Right. I mean, how would you have described your marriage?
Not good, because it ended. Like, I don't know. I mean, what are descriptive words that people use to describe a marriage? Like
loving. I mean,
yeah. You know, loving. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like compatible or like partners or. Yeah. Trusting. I didn't clearly that those weren't adjectives that defined my marriage. Yeah. But I hate to look back on it with negative thoughts or feelings because first of all, what's done is done. And there's no reason to like wade in toxicity. But secondly, you know, I had some really beautiful times with Jim and, great memories. And so I choose to really just try to focus on that. I think that's a healthier way to do it.
Definitely. And I know the kids are young, so do they not really kind of understand what
goes on? Oh, they don't even even remember when we were together. They have no idea. Yeah. They like I'll show them pictures of when they were babies and how he's with me and they're just totally mind blown. It's like that emoji with the head exploding. They're like, "You and Dad were in the same room?"
Have you guys been in the same room at all?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not usual and typically like the kids aren't, you know, they're kids. They're going to like go run and play in the playroom or something, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any, I know you told us in December that you don't really have any relationship with his girlfriend. Is that still the case?
Yeah.
Yeah. And is that frustrating as well too? Because I'm sure you would.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. It's fine. There's communication when there needs to be. So it's fine.
Yeah.
You know what? And like the way that I interpret everything is just my own interpretation. There's multiple people in this relationship. So it's not up to just me. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel one way, I can't force anybody else to.
Yeah. I mean, are you any closer in finalizing the divorce?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I am.
That's good.
Yeah. I know. Thank God. It'll be so nice.
How do you think you will feel like once the divorce is finalized?
I think a combination of free mixed with like being scared because yeah, I'll be like totally on my own. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't have his for instance medical insurance, and that kind of scares me because that's like a big expense. But also free to be able to have that huge energetic ball and chain from that was holding me back. It's gone, and now I can go and live my life and change my name legally, officially, and be with someone as a single woman.
Mm-hmm. You know, you said something interesting before. You said, you know, it wasn't my choice to like, you know, if it was up to me, I'd still be with the father of my kids. I mean, obviously you're way past that and there's no chance of reconciliation, but right. Do you think at one point that maybe you guys would have worked this out and kind of pulled through?
No, I did during the marriage. Mm-hmm. I mean, our marriage was rocky at times. Yeah. And I always thought like, okay, I can do this. Mm-hmm. For better, for worse, where our vows. I love him for who he is deep down. I know he didn't mean to hurt me in this way, or like he can figure out what his issues are in order to like, you know, not have a sexting relationship with somebody else, whatever. Mm-hmm. So yes, during those times, absolutely. I thought we could make it work, which, and we did. We did until we didn't.
Yeah. And I mean, you felt like you did everything you could to kind of save this marriage then.
I felt like I gave it my all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wish you nothing.
Until I was done. And then I didn't give any all.
And then you're like, we're done.
Yeah. I mean, there's gotta be a time, right? You gotta like have a set certain boundaries where it's just gonna, you have to have, you know, that final straw. Otherwise you could kill your soul.
No, totally. I mean, Jim did say that he felt your marriage wasn't accurately portrayed on Real Housewives. Do you agree with that?
I haven't watched it in a while. I don't really ever think anything was inaccurately portrayed about anything on there.
Yeah.
Regarding me, at least. Some of my friends would say to me, that's not you on there. Or, that's not how you act. And I'm like, but it is how I acted. Like you just saw that's how I acted. So like, obviously that's true. And they're like, but it's not the whole picture of you. And I'm like, but it's reality television. They have to condense it somehow. It doesn't mean that it's not me.
Right.
And yeah, sure. Maybe they're not getting the whole picture of me, but like, that doesn't mean that it's not me.
Sure.
No, and so again, same with the marriage, like maybe they're not getting the whole picture, but it doesn't mean that that's not my marriage either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In December, you did say that you missed the Housewives. I mean, what do you miss the most, the least about the show?
Gosh, I really do miss it. I have such good memories from filming that show. I loved getting dressed up and like being in front of a camera and like the lights. I feel like I was born to be on stage or something. But so yeah, that whole part and the trips and the parties, and I really created some great friendships from that show. The thing that I miss the least about it is being forced to hang out with people I don't like.
Anyone in particular?
Well, yeah, like I had to hang out with Vicky, and I did not get along with her from day one. I checked. She still has me blocked on Instagram. I went to go to like, it was her birthday. And I think Tamara, who's a good friend of mine, like wished her a happy birthday or something. And I clicked on her name to like go look at her and send her a happy birthday message. User not found.
That's amazing. I mean, were you surprised?
She forgot.
Are you surprised that the Trace Amigas are no longer friends?
I'm kind of surprised. Wait, I think that Vicky and Tamara are friends.
Vicky and Tamara. I'm sorry, that Vicky and Tamara are no longer friends with Shannon then.
Wait, so Vicky's not friends with Shannon either?
Yeah, no.
That doesn't really surprise me. Mm-hmm. But it does surprise me that Shannon and Tamara aren't friends.
Yeah.
One day I'll have to get that scoop.
You'll have to get to the bottom of that.
I got the scoop from Tamara, but I need to get the scoop from Shannon. She texted me the other day, like a throwback picture or something. So I still stay in touch with her.
No, definitely. I mean, would you ever, you know, make an appearance, come back? I mean, because Andy's did say that, you know, OC needs to kind of be reworked a little bit. Do you agree with that?
I know. Well, I didn't watch this past season, but yeah, it sounds like it really struggled. It sounded like really bad from what I heard. So I would love to go back on Housewives in some way. I would love to be back on reality TV. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Have you had any of those conversations about maybe like inviting cameras back into your home?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like right now I'm at a place where my kids are a little bit older and more manageable. I'm in more of a routine that I could start to think about something like that.
Yeah. I know. I don't know if you've been keeping up with a lot of Housewives news, but I know that there was a big arrest in Housewives news with Jen.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have a reaction to that? As like, you know, I think like a lot of this was kind of captured on camera. It's got to be kind of crazy.
It was captured on camera?
I think so. Some of it. I don't know if like the arrest was, but I think when everything was kind of going down, it was captured on camera.
I mean, I just watched that show about the college admission scandal last night, the documentary. And to me, I think it's kind of like that. In order to like pass off such a massive like fraud, like Ponzi scheme for her, but like, or anything fraudulent, like to that level, you have to be in your mind so convinced that you are doing nothing wrong. That dude, that college admissions dude, Rick Singer, he was trying to do a documentary, and same with Jen Shah. She's putting herself on reality TV. Like, their reality had to be so warped in order to like put themselves out there like that. I mean, why would you ever put yourself on that level of a pedestal? You're just going to get caught. That's like sociopathic.
Mm-hmm. But you're so right. They had to have convinced themselves that they are doing the right thing.
Because you would never, ever expose yourself like that.
Totally
if, not. If you thought that what you were doing was like wrong at all.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Can you imagine the steps that you have to take? Like how long it must take for you to get to a place where you convince yourself that you are doing the right thing? Like, no.
Mind blown. Yeah. I know you mentioned your podcast before. Do you have any special guests coming up or anything like that or anything?
Yeah. I'm super excited. I'm interviewing Whitney Cummings, the comedian. So we're going to talk about vaginas next week. So I'm really looking forward to that.
I love her. I interviewed her maybe a couple months ago and she's absolutely fantastic. She's great.
Oh, good. Oh, I'm looking forward to it too.
Totally.
I think it'll be fun to talk about vaginas, you know, with a comedian, she'll have a funny twist on things.
Totally. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you spending so much time and speaking so candidly and openly with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks, Christina. It was great chatting with you.
All right, appreciate it. A good day.
You too.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Getting Real with the Housewives. But if you want some more Housewives news, head on over to usmagazine.com where we've got you covered.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.